read me romance, read, read me romance, read me romance, read, read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine, or you could sit back, relax and unwind and read me romance, read, read me romance.
Hey!
Welcome!
Welcome! Lady listeners, unite! I was waiting to see if you were going to say it.
I definitely wasn't going to say the dick one, and I can't even remember what it was.
I know. I can't remember.
I'm sure she'll pound it into our heads soon enough, and I'll know it.
I know. My mom's already like, no. I need a different name.
You're here with Mel and Leah, also known as Alexa Riley.
Hey, that's us. The writing duo known as. Yay.
No, Tessa.
There's two of us. How do we write so much? There's two of us.
We're multiplying.
I know. So, you know, the week that we're currently listening to is Carides week. And that's when we talked about writing. I actually listened to today's episode earlier where we go on and talk about like tips and tricks and that sort of thing. Or just give a generalization on where to start. Did you have any more to add to that, like that you could think of after we finished recording about people who want to write?
I think me and you were texting the other day, and it really just comes down to working. You have to work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much work. Like, I remember sending that to you, like, and I think it was like Monday, and I was like, I have 3 books I have to write in today. And I have to write 1,500 words in all 3 of those books. You know, it's like with what we're finishing up. And I was like, I don't think, like, I definitely know this isn't for normal for most authors. But, you know, if you want to release like we do and you want to, like, you know, constantly be out there like we are, you know, that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Is writing in multiple books all the time.
And not just, you just have to work. Because I was trying to, like, after you had sent that to me, I was like, it's not just writing sometimes, it's working everywhere. You got to work on your social media, yeah. You gotta work everywhere. It's just, you have, the bottom line is, you have to work a lot.
Because even at that, when I was like, okay, I'm going to write in this book this morning, you're like, okay, I'm going to work on new releases. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to post this. Where's that giveaway? Do we have this list? Like, it's just, it is constant. I mean, obviously, there's 2 of us, you know, so we're able to better manage it. But I mean, even if there was just 1 of us, you know, that's still 2 releases a month, even if it's just 1 of us, you know, because I mean, we're between 3 and 4 or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, so I think it is nice that there's 2 of us, because I know somebody will ask me a question about something and I'm like, that's not my job, that one's Leah's, you have to ask her. I don't know.
No, you'll just send me the
I'm
email.
Like, that's a Leah one question, that's not me.
Yeah,
that's always nice. Mm-hmm. That it's like, that's not stuff I have to handle, I'm doing this and she's doing that. Yeah. Kind of thing.
Yeah, that makes it easier. So, but I was just thinking about that today when I was listening to the recording, you know, I felt like a lot of what we said was just like right, you know, which that is, you know, a large majority of what we do. But there's just, you know, you gotta want it, you know, wanting to write a book is awesome, you know, but if you want to be on top, it's like any job, you know, like if you want to be the best at anything you do, you just have to work your ass off. Like there's no magic button. There's nothing. I wish to God there was something that we could click. I wish there was an ad that we could run that got us to where we are. But, you know, we're 5 years in the making right now with us, and we've done this for 5 years, this work ethic we've had for 5 years, I believe, for like from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, we've worked this hard and we haven't stopped. Like, you know, just for an example, I told Mel the other day, I said, when we finished Too Hard, which comes out on Friday, by the way, we finished Too Hard. And I was like, we just wrote our 136th book. It was like, that's what we just wrote. And really, we did that in 4 years, because the first year we wrote together, we only wrote 3 books that year. I just had a baby. We had that problem, you know, with our other editor before we got Eagle. Like, you know, we didn't publish for a while. Like, so really, we did 136, we'll say 130 books, I think is what I said, in 4 years, which is 2.5 books a month is what we released. And in some months, we released more than that, you know, depending on the stories. Then some months we only did 2. And then we took a break during everything for her. I think for 2 months we only did 1 book in that whole 2-month time.
We were still writing.
So like, yeah, we were still writing, but there was a big break there. But honestly, like, we didn't stop working that time. That was just our release schedule. So, I mean, you got to think, like, you know, writing that many books every month for, you know, almost 5 years. Like, that's insanity. But, you know, that's like kind of where we're at. I mean, just to look at it in, you know, words, I was like, that's 3 million words that we wrote. I mean, we averaged every book to be around 20,000 because we have some that are really long and some that are kind of short. And I was like, that's over 3 million words that we've written in that amount of time, which is insane. But, you know, we love what we do and we, you know, want to stay relevant and be successful. And, you know, it's not impossible. Obviously, we've done it. You know, I think if you're able to find a person that you can write with and you're able to do this, I think it's incredible. But, you know, if you want to do it on your own, again, it's not impossible to do it by yourself either. I mean, there's people who do it out there every day. Like, we were just talking earlier. I was like, look at Megan March. I was like, she is killing it on Apple. Like, if you see her, like,
she's killing it everywhere.
She runs that place. Yeah, true. She's killing it everywhere. She's got married, too. Congratulations, Megan. But she's another example of an author that, you know, we're friends with that, like, she works her ass off. She constantly works. She's constantly, like, promoting her new book, writing her ass off, promoting her social media. Like, she's a monster. You know, but I mean, she's really successful at what she does. So, I mean, there's great people out there who do it all the time. So just know it's not impossible to do it. And if that's your dream, you just got to work hard.
I remember looking when Megan March first came out, we were bloggers. And I remember I was talking to Jen Frederick and she was like, she's going to go somewhere. She's moving. She's hustling over there. And she did.
Oh, yeah. And Jen, that was flashbang.
Yeah, it was like 5-7 years ago. I can't even remember because we were blogging at the time, I think.
Yeah, it was probably 7 years ago.
And she was like, watch, here she goes. I was like, shit, she did. She was hustling.
Yeah.
And she got it.
And that was her. I remember we reviewed her very first book she had written. It was called Flashbang. And it's a menage and it's post-apocalyptic. And I still recommend that book to people all the time. It's so good. It's really hot. It's fun. Like, it's a little dark, but not all the way. Like, you just sort of dip your toes into the post-apocalyptic part. Like, it's about the menage, which is great. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just like, you can see it, you know, people who are ready and they're willing to put in the work. I mean, and we'll be the first to say, obviously, we're not the best writers out there. You know, there's incredible writers and authors who like have honed their craft and know what they're doing. And we just sort of have fun with it, you know, and I think that comes across in people's writing. So, you know, you don't have to think you're the best. That's what you get a good editor for. And, you know, You keep working at it until you can get good. So yeah, don't give up. So I did have an email somebody sent today that said they were looking for something new. And so I wanted to talk about this today and maybe you can post something up. So the reader says, I realized recently that I've been rereading a lot of books and I was wondering if Mel has a list somewhere of awesome books that feature plus size heroines and alpha possessive heroes. These are my absolute favorite. I'm just super stuck in my ways. So when I find a new author I really, really love, I kind of stick to it and reread everything to death. If she does have something that like that posted somewhere on social media somewhere, please let me know. Just trying to branch out and discover new authors. Thanks, guys. Love you so much, Lexi.
Okay.
So I think this is a very common thing, especially if you're just getting into romance, where you find an author you like, or if you've been doing it for a while, you don't want to deviate from it. So go.
I'm going to make a list. I know it's been a while since I've cruised through my Kindle because we've been really busy between reading romance and everything, but I like to reread too. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go through my Kindle and I'm going to go all the way back from probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And I'm going to see if I can dig up some older stuff that are my favorites and post them because I had a few pop into my head the other day that I wanted to bring back up. So I'm going to make a list and I'll flag any that have curvier women in them. And then alpha.
That was something we talked about last week too, when somebody said they wanted a menage, but they needed both the males to be together on it. And I was like, oh, I used to read that Schitter's series, Teal Sinclair. And that was from like 6 years ago, I think. Yeah. I mean, that was an old one, but that fit exactly what they were looking for. So, you know, sometimes that particular author, I don't think she's around very much anymore. So unless you were digging, you wouldn't find that. That wouldn't be an Amazon recommendation, you know, that wouldn't be that wouldn't pop up on a newsletter or a new email. So, you know, people who have been in the romance community a while are good people to pump for information, especially Mel, because she remembers every book. So
that's why I think I'm just going to pull up my, I'm going to go into my Amazon account and pull up my Kindle library and just scroll. And when I see stuff, I'm going to grab it.
So you want to make a list? You want to share it on Instagram or
I'll share it in the group.
What do you want to put?
The
in their headquarters group? Okay. All right, so well, if you're just here for Dylan Allen's week, we have a Facebook group called Read Me Romance Headquarters, and you can go in there and we'll post it up the list in there, and hopefully, you know, be able to get you the curvy girls and alpha males, and then anything else, you know, if we can make a list of like shifters or something like that. I don't know, just something popular, but you know, authors that we love that we can trust. And you know, it's always hard to try someone new, especially if it doesn't really come with a recommendation from somebody you trust. Like, you know, Amazon can recommend something, but it might still not fit exactly what you want. So it's good to ask somebody who's kind of, like I said, been around a little while. So,
you know, who else is really good to follow for recommendations, or who I get mine from? Rochelle Page.
Oh, yeah.
She remembers everything, too. And she's a fast reader, so if a book just came out, she's, like, already done. I'm like...
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. She's the one you usually go to. You're like, read this and tell me if you like it. And it's, like, an hour later. She's like, okay.
Yeah.
And go. So that's awesome. Okay, cool.
All right.
Well, I guess we'll send you into the second installment of Dylan Allen's book. Dylan, we love you. Thanks for being on the podcast this week. So we'll see you on the other side, guys.
Bye.
Chapter 2, Carter. I manage to catch her before she crumples to the ground. I scoop her up into my arms and turn to look around the kitchen. Her friend is watching us slack-jawed, and the rest of the kitchen staff is starting to gather around us. She moans, and I look down at her heart-shaped face to see that her thick, feathery lashes are fluttering. It's hard to make myself look away from her when all I've wanted to do for the last 10 years is see her again. But I want to make sure she's okay and get her somewhere private. I look over at her friend Dina. Her dark eyes are as wide as saucers, and her face is pale as she stares at Beth in horror. "Where's that office you mentioned?" I snap, and she jumps like I startled her.
"Oh my God, I'm such an idiot, of course. This way, there's a couch."
She turns and starts toward the back of the kitchen.
"Ray, bring the first aid kit to my office and a bottle of water too, please,"
she calls over her shoulder.
"Carter?"
Beth calls my name, and I look down to find her fully awake. But her eyes are glazed with pain and confusion. "You're okay, darling. I know it hurts."
"It does,"
she murmurs and closes her eyes against it. I follow her friend through the door she's holding open and into a dingy little office with a couch that looks like it's been handed down several times. "You want me to lay her on that?" I eye the stained, threadbare couch disdainfully.
"It's clean, just old."
She snaps and steps back out of the door to take the first aid kit and a bottle of water from the man who she ordered to get them. She curses at whatever he says and lays the first aid kit and bottle of water down and rushes from the room. Just like that, for the first time in 10 years, we're alone. In every way that matters, she's exactly the same as I left her. I can't believe I've gone this long without holding her. Her body is still so fucking sexy. All tits, ass, and curves that flow along the trim lines of her frame. Just like they had when she'd been the star of my teenage wet dreams. Her beautiful face is contorted in pain, her eyes still closed as she cradles her burned hand against her chest. I know I need to at least get a bandage on her and tear my eyes off her and scan the room for an alternative to the couch. There isn't one. "Can I put you on your feet for just a second?" I whisper. She nods, but doesn't open her eyes. "Lean on me, okay?" I wait for her to nod before I lower her to the ground. I wrap one arm around her waist and shrug out of my jacket sleeve, switch arms, and take it off altogether. I lay it on the couch, covering the most offensive stains with it, before I prop her up on it.
"I sit on here all the time. It's fine,"
she says groggily, and throws her head back so that the creamy olive skin of her throat is bared to me. A small beauty mark right in the center, like a bullseye for my lips. I lean forward. Just want to get close enough to The door comes flying open.
Holy shit! Lizzie, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?
Her friend comes to stand next to me and shoots a worried glance over her shoulder at the door.
My hand is killing me, and I'm embarrassed, but otherwise I'm okay.
She gives a half-hearted chuckle and shoots her friend a deprecating smile.
I hate to do this, but I'm already down a cook and we're getting slammed.
She shoots a dark look in my direction.
Someone tagged you in a picture on IG, and we're already at capacity with a line forming out the door.
She shoots a worried glance over her shoulder at me. Yeah, that's what happens. I'm sorry. We usually give a heads up when we're coming, but... I trail off, because I don't want to say that I didn't want to give Elizabeth a heads up.
No, it's great, as long as people don't mind the long wait. We're happy for the business, but I gotta get back out there. Can you clean that? Put a Band-Aid on it?
She nods at the first aid kit, and I just want her to leave again so I can finally have my girl to myself. Yeah, I got this. Go ahead.
Oh, Carter, you don't have to.
She starts to dismiss me, and I stop her with a shake of my head. I do. I have to. I say meaningfully.
Okay, you take the rest of the day off. It's not that bad of a burn, but you should probably just let it calm down for a day. I'll see you later.
Dina calls as she turns and rushes back out of the room. The door closes, and I look back to find her watching me. And for a second, I'm worried that she doesn't see the boy I used to be. And then, suddenly she smiles. A smile that says,
I can't believe you're here.
It's not a huge smile. Pain lingers in her eyes, but it's there, and it's enough. I've missed you so fucking much, I tell her, and her smile disappears. Her eyes drop to her lap, and she leans away slightly. I stare at the top of her bowed head and want to punch myself. I came on too strong. It's been 10 years. She's been someone else's wife for most of that time. I forget that she hasn't been pining away for me the way I've been pining for her. I clear my throat and reach for the first aid kit. Let's get you bandaged up. I pick up her injured hand to examine it. She flinches when I press the gauze to it. I'm sorry. I blow on the huge blister that's forming to cool it down.
It's okay. It just hurts a lot. Burns are an occupational hazard, and I think this looks worse than it is. They just always hurt so much, she says quietly,
her eyes still downcast. She takes her hair out of the hairnet, and it falls down around her cheeks, and I can't see her scar anymore. My stomach bottomed out when I saw her scar. I'd never been more grateful for all the media training Dean insisted upon, or else I know shock would have shown plain as day. I want to ask how she got it, but that will come later. It's just one of the many questions I have for her. I'd imagined our reunion much differently. She was going to turn around, see me, and rush into my arms and beg me to take her with me when I left town. But now I realize that years of being idolized by every woman I meet has tainted my grasp on reality. She hadn't even wanted to see me. I'm sorry I walked in like that. I know you didn't want to.
I didn't mean that, Carter. I was just scared,
she says softly, and I look up to find her looking at me full on. Scared of what?
Of you seeing me? Of you seeing this? I'm not the same as I was when you knew me.
She runs the back of her free hand over her scarred cheek and winces. Understanding dawns, and something inside of me starts to think that she was worried that I would look at her and see her as changed. I put her hand down in her lap and reach into the first aid kit and pull out the huge square bandage. Most of the time, I hate the way the world treats me, I confess as I pull the wrapping off the bandage and press it lightly into place.
How do they treat you?
Like my shit doesn't stink. Like I walk on water.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
She scoffs, and there's no mistaking the sarcasm in her voice. Satisfied that her burn is properly bandaged, I sit down next to her on the same side of the scar she thought would come between us. Did you forget that I've been on the receiving end of the exact opposite of the worship I get now? I know that the way people treat me has nothing to do with who I really am. It's all about what they see.
I guess.
She sounds unconvinced. I'm the same person I was back then. Back then, everyone treated me like shit.
I didn't,
she says defensively. Yeah, you were different. And you heard me sing before you saw me, right? I nudge her gently with my knee and glance over at her. She's staring at the floor, but a smile is playing around the corner of her mouth. That night, when I sat down at the piano to play, the way I always did when I thought I was alone, I had no idea that anyone was listening, much less the girl I'd loved from afar for 4 years.
I didn't know or care who that voice belonged to, she says quietly.
I know you didn't.
I was surprised when I saw it was you, but only because I couldn't believe that we'd gone to school together all of those years, and I didn't really know you at all.
By the end of that first week, you'd learned everything you needed to know, didn't you? That's how long it took us to declare our love.
Oh, I learned everything I needed to know that night, Carter. In the rain when you kissed me, with your whole heart.
She turns her head to look at me fully, and her eyes are full of the same wonder they held back then. And they slay me all over again. I'm still the same person, Beth. The only thing that changed is that more people heard my music. I look the same.
Lucky you,
she says with a tight smile. Well, except for my tattoos and muscles I added in the gym. But those things haven't changed what's here. I put my hand over my chest. My father is still the town drunk who made my mother's life a living hell, whose sins I was punished for.
I never saw you that way.
Her eyes roam my face, and it's not my imagination, not at all, when they linger on my lips. I smile at that, and I'm rewarded with one from her, too, that reaches all the way to her eyes, and I fall even harder for her. When I'm home, on the small island I call home when I'm not touring, I look out on the Caribbean Sea, and I think of you.
You do?
I cup her cheek she tried to put between us, and she gasps. When her eyes come to mine, they're bright with tears. That sea reminds me of your eyes, clear, blue, and the star of the show on your beautiful, heart-shaped face. A tear falls from her eye and rolls down her cheek. I lean forward and kiss the tiny trickle. I skim my lips across the top of her cheekbone, and she leans into me. I press my lips to the sweet curve of her ear, and she trembles. I won't lie and say I don't see your scar, Beth. But to me, it's just something new to love on your face. And what hasn't changed is that when everyone else looks at and see the external things, my father's sins, and now my fame, you look at me and see.
I see love.
She finishes my sentence, and it's like she ignites something within herself because suddenly, her eyes are clear and shining with determination. There's my girl. Fuck, I missed you.
That's the second time you've said that. If you miss me so much, then why the hell haven't you kissed me?
Her sea blue eyes are full of challenge, and she raises an eyebrow.
Well, what are you waiting for?
Welcome back, lady listeners.
Hey, I'm here. The lady listener in the group. I'm here. I'm ready. Let's do it.
I know you guys are enjoying it. I did want to mention that we have a couple of Read Me Romance authors that have releases out because it's Tuesday and most new releases come out on Tuesday.
Give it up.
Natasha Madison released Hollywood Prince, which is in her Hollywood Royalty series. I love those covers. I haven't got a chance to read the books, but I'm hearing great things, and I'm told I will enjoy them. So awesome. Check those out. And then Kate Canterbury has the the Magnolia series. I cannot believe I just said that all right. Canterbury and Magnolia.
Canterbury and Magnolia. Yep.
We'll put those both in the link descriptions of today's episode if you want to check those out, along with the new releases probably from last week. We update the list every Thursday.
And that'll be your quick links on Instagram in the top where it says, like, on our Instagram page where it says, like, has our pic and our bio and stuff. It's right there. And there's a, like, where the website normally goes that says quick links. Click that and it'll take you where you go. So, yeah. I guess that's it. We'll see you guys tomorrow,
bye, guys.
Okay? Bye. Read Me Romance.
read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.